This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
QPR Fan Show on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Miles Blumsome here, filling in for Matt Beadle tonight on the QPR Fan Show. During this coronavirus pandemic, the COVID-19 outbreak. So no football on at the moment, but still plenty to talk about. I'm going to be joined during the show by James Norris and Richard Blackburn. Richard, firstly, how are you feeling? How is everything affecting yourself?
Well, I mean, apart from the dire lack of football, I've been coping, I suppose, is the right word to use it. I can't say enjoy myself with no football, but yeah, still surviving, still symptom-free, so all good.
Well, I mean, that's the best we can ask for at the moment, really, isn't it? James, how are you so far? Have you done your shop, actually? Because it's difficult to get things unless you're there first thing in the morning.
Oh, mine's been a bit horrific, really. I was in Dubai last week and I wasn't really sure what to do, whether to come back or whether to stay there. I was getting all different advice from different people work-wise, so it was quite difficult. I think they're dealing with it quite well because obviously they're in a hot temperature. So they don't... You know, whether they're actually being truthful about the figures out there, I think they've only got 90 or something cases. So I was thinking, am I safer there? You know, do I come back? So it's been a bit of a crazy one. So I opted to come back, and like Richard said, you know, the weekend seemed very strange. There's been lots of stuff on social media, hasn't there? Like, you know, what is this? What people that are not into sport, is this what their life is like normally?
Yeah,
it's
a
bit crazy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure anyone's life is normal at the moment. But yeah. Even the people that aren't into sport, but I don't understand what you could do with your weekend if you're not into sport. But I mean, some people manage to cope. But that's not. We're not the place for them. I don't think we're not the place for them. We're for the people that do love their sport. And this show specifically is for people who love QPR, Queen's Park Rangers. 0208 7020 558. If you want to join the show, call us, drop us a message on WhatsApp. I've been asking all of the fan shows so far this evening this question because I think it's the most pertinent question at the moment. Is Wednesday is when the EFL board are going to meet to discuss the end of the season, how the season's going to be resolved. The Premier League meeting is on Thursday. Actually, I would say the EFL has some power here because the Premier League won't be able to do anything that doesn't fall in line with what the EFL want. James, do you think we're going to get any sort of clarity on Wednesday as to what's going to happen with the end of the season? Just because no one knows how long we're going to be potentially in lockdown if that happens, or at least having to self-isolate, how long this is going to be a massive threat to public safety?
I don't think we'll get clarity, but I think obviously they'll cover. I think this is going to take a few days. I was, you know, like you said, the EFL do have some power because obviously the Premier League is going to be related to promotion and relegation too. I think it's going to take a few days. I think we will get some kind of clarity, you know, towards the end of the week. It's a high priority. And I think the bodies were saying, I think it's the same in the foreign leagues as well. You know, they're not so concerned about the cup competitions. Every country, you know, they do seem adamant they've got to finish the league season, whenever that may be, whether it's, you know, the season goes on till June or July and next season's extended. But I think they're saying, you know, that's even more important than, you know, the Euros and the FA Cup and the Champions League. So it's going to take priority. But I don't see it getting done in one day. I mean, you've got so many different scenarios, haven't you? Because, like you said, you don't know how much how much further this is going to go on for.
Yeah, Richard, I'll bring you in here because whether it's days, I think it could be months before we know what's going to happen. If coronavirus is still not at its peak when we hit sort of May, how are the EFL going to plan for this just this Wednesday? They're going to have to just pretty much come out and say, look, to be honest, we're as in the dark as everyone else is still. But do you think the meeting's more just to show they're trying to do something?
Yeah, I mean, all I'm grateful is I'm not in that meeting because that is a horrendous meeting to have. There's no winners coming out of that. No matter what they decide or what ideas they come up with, put on the table, there's going to be people moaning, isn't there? I mean, yeah, there's a few options around. You mentioned extending the season, James. Obviously, if you go down that route, it sounds feasible, but then you get into the realms of parent clubs wanting their players back for the next pre-season. You then have people coming out at the end of their contracts. The stadiums actually becoming multi-use. So, for example, Tottenham and West Ham in the Prem, their stadiums become multi-use at the end of the season. And then, well, where do they play their home games? You know, it's a whole host of different issues. I think, yeah, I'm just grateful I'm not in that meeting. And it will drag on. The lawyers are going to have fun with this no matter what happens.
Our lawyers are going to fly, aren't they? I was thinking that. I was talking to one of my mates who's a lawyer today. And he was talking to me like, you know, how's business? Or kind of looking at that from all different scenarios. They're going to be licking their lips at this.
No matter what they decide, it's field day for them gold mine.
When it comes to QPR, what would you like to see happen? What's the best case scenario for QPR? Because right now, 6 points off the playoffs, it's not completely out of the question. There are quite a few teams in between QPR and the playoffs. QPR down in 13th, but it's a tight league, and in the Championship every season there's always a bolter at the end of the year. This year could be QPR. Do you think that the season has to be finished? And do you think QPR can make it up into the playoffs?
I think, you know, it's a tough one. I'd love to see the season finish, but there's nothing worse than for me if the season were to finish behind closed doors. I think that'd be worse than the season not finishing. I mean, imagine if we were to kind of run now and you're not there to witness it. I mean, I don't care what anyone says watching it on TV. Yeah, it'd be an option, but it's not the same. There'll be nothing worse. You know, imagine at the playoffs behind closed doors. You know, it's terrible. It's horrible thought. Football, it'll ruin it. It takes away the thrive. It takes away the fun. It takes away the passion. You sit there on your sofa watching it. I could never be an armchair fan. And it's just highlighted that over the last few days. I think the only way you can do it is void this season and try again next year, because there's no good option here.
Do you think one option, James, could be if, and this is another, it's everything is if at the moment, but if the season can be resumed even in August, you spend the whole month of August, we've got nine Championship games left to play. Maybe you have to go into September. You say, right, we're going to play every Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, or even Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, every week for 3-4 weeks. Then instead of having two legs of a playoff semi-final, I mentioned this to the Brentford fan show guys earlier on in the evening. Instead of having two legs of a playoff semi-final, you just do neutral location. You know, there's plenty of great stadiums at Championship, even Premier League stadiums you could potentially use, because the Premier League season would hopefully have been resolved by that point. Get that done in one leg, straight to Wembley for a playoff final. Do you think that would be the best way to do it?
Yeah, I disagree slightly to what Richard's saying. I think they've got to finish the season. You know, if you're a Liverpool fan, if you're a Leeds fan, and you refer back to the, you know, the lawyers as well, I don't think they can void the season. I mean, might be wrong. I just can't see any way how that could be possible. So I think if it takes months, I mean, even if it's 6 months, they can always adjust, can't they? Whether it's going to be everybody's cup of tea and people aren't going to be happy with it, but they can always adjust at the back. One thing I heard today was Euros might be actually played in 2022, the same time as the World Cup, because obviously there's no summer tournament that year, is there? Because yep, they've got the women's Euros, haven't they, in 2021, so it's going to clash with that. So they can always, you know, they can always go backwards, can't they? You know, they could always adjust backwards. It might not be easy, but I'm sure they could do that. I just can't see them not. I can't see them not finishing the season. I just really can't.
I get that point, but then you do come into the realms of, well, you look at us, for example. How many players have we got on the last year of their contract. This contract, I believe, ending like June, July time. So then we end up having to beg players to stay, essentially. There's no guarantee they will. We then end up losing players. What happens to the transfer window? That all has
they
to
must
move.
Be able to do an adjustment that way, though, mustn't they? They like, you know, FIFA could come into maybe a ruling and say everybody's because of the adjustment. And that's the thing. What I think you'll probably see in the future, contracts might get changed from not until it expires into June. They'll have it for the season, won't they, probably, yeah. In case something like this happens in the future. And that's probably what they'll do. They'll probably have an illegal agreement where that becomes, rather than being June, it becomes to the end of that season, 2021, wherever that, you know, when that's extended. That's probably easier to do than adjust the season or to cancel the season. I'd imagine.
Do you think we're going to see a change in the laws in the leagues now that something like this has happened, where there is a just you've mentioned player contracts there could be a clause in the contract that says if for any reason there's a delay in the season you stay to the end of the season, but the contract still is to a certain date? I'm not an expert on employment law, hence why I talk on the radio for a living. but do you think that this could be something that's in the bylaws of the Premier League or the Championship, of all leagues, of even from FIFA and the EFL and the FA, where they say, right, if a season can't be completed, this is what's going to happen? Because then there wouldn't be the legal precedent that we're talking about. Could, if it gets cancelled, could Liverpool and Leeds sue, and West Brom, would they have grounds for suing? If they say, right, we're going to stop it how it is, and they relegate the teams, surely Charlton, Luton and Barnsley would have a case for suing to say, no, we didn't get relegated over a 46 game season. Do you think that this is something that they're going to start to write into the laws of the game in England?
Yeah, I'm not so sure what they've got written already, but 100%, I think this will change how contractually things are done.
Do you agree there, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, you end up with no choice, don't you? I mean, you look at a football game, as it's just in one individual football game, as it goes past, I think it's 75 minutes, the result stands. I mean, you could end up with that in the season. You go past 75% of the games, if the season can't be finished, that's it, the result stands. You can end up with something like that, but obviously you can't plan for something like this happening until it happens and you have to react to it. So this season it's almost impossible to judge what's going to happen, but for next year you have to put something in the rules in place so everybody's clear and nobody can moan. You know where you stand. If the rules at the beginning of the season are there, you can't moan that something's happened because you've walked into the season knowing they were the rules.
Yeah, you sign up to the league and that's it. And I think you're completely right, Richard, when you say you wouldn't want to be in that meeting. I definitely wouldn't want to be in the meeting on Wednesday, the meeting on Thursday, the European meeting tomorrow to potentially cancel the Champions League and the Euros, especially as qualifying's finished. It's not like it's the start of qualifying. I am glad that I'm not involved in any way. Money would be nice. They all earn a decent wedge. But apart from that, I'm pretty happy. Let's talk about some of the other news going round QPR at the moment. Let's try and take a slight breather from coronavirus. There's some good transfer news, players going out, players that could potentially come in to replace said players. I think we know who we're talking about. It involves a potential move to Tottenham. It's 10:15. This is Love Sport London.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Miles Blumsom sitting in for Matt Beadle this evening on Love Sport London. Just a few notes with updates on coronavirus. Boris Johnson has delivered his first daily update. He said to avoid offices, pubs and travel to stop the spread of the virus. Talking about the over 70s, it's been said that within weeks they could be told to self-isolate. Now, Boris Johnson has come out and said they will be allowed to go for walks when their period of staying at home begins. I'll let you try and make heads or tails of that. And the first person in Wales has died with COVID-19, bringing the UK total up to 36 at this time in the day. Going back to QPR fan show and trying to go away a little bit from coronavirus, big rumours, guys, James Norris and Richard Blackburn joining me, by the way, about Easy. Or Eze. I prefer calling him Easy because I think it's just more fun to say. But Eze, he's been linked heavily with Tottenham. Tottenham are the front runners to sign him. There's some rumours of some players that could be offered from Spurs to in part exchange to get their Easy deal across the line. He's going to be a big loss for the club, but can you begrudge him a crack at the Premier League if QPR don't go up?
No, I think he's... we're resigned to losing him. And I think take Man City out of the equation. I think anywhere else, I'll put Liverpool in this as well. I think any club he goes to, he plays as well. I don't see him being an interim squad player. Maybe Man City, obviously, they've had great talent. You know, even likes of Foden haven't had regular football. So I think that's the only team I see him where he won't be a regular starter. I see him getting a lot of minutes wherever he goes. So he needs to go, in all honesty. We need to do the right deal in terms of monetary in and players in. We probably haven't seen enough of Jack Clark to know whether that would be a good deal for us. I think you could talk about Amos all day long and you'd probably get a mixed vibe from QPR fans. I think getting him in would be quite good. And then, you know, we could probably get some loan players, we could get some permanent players. But I think it's important that we get the right deal financially as well. It's got to be 20 million plus, 20 million minimum plus add-ons. I think if we don't get that, I think the club have sold themselves short again. And I think most people are kind of, you know, coming around to that sort of figure as well now.
Richard, do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, 20 million, I think, is the right valuation if players come the other way. I think that's the lowest we can go for with him in terms of selling him. I mean, it does come down to the player as well. If he wants to go, then obviously the power shifts to the buying club more than us. But the 20 million figure plus add-ons or players in our direction is exactly what he's worth, if not more. I mean, you compare his stat to Mount in Chelsea this year compared to Mount last year for Derby, who were arguably a better performing team consistently. I mean, they were in the playoffs. I know we can still make there, but at the moment, we're not in there. And Eze's stats are miles above him. I think he's the best attacking midfielder in the league by a country mile. And yeah, it'll be a shame to see him go, but he's got to go for his own career. And I think, like you touched upon, Amos, I think he'd be a great addition to the squad. I saw the game change when he came on at Preston. I'd love to see more of him. He is still young, and rightly hit the nail on the head with Clark. He looks a good talent, but there's just not been enough of him, sadly, to see for certain at the moment to make my mind up.
It's been a bit interesting with Jack Clark, hasn't it? Because he went back to Leeds from Spurs at the start of the season after signing last year. Didn't really play. I think he got one appearance. He's not really playing at QPR. Do you see that as a red flag if he was one of the players offered in the deal that makes you sort of think, yeah, Tottenham took a risk on him, but clearly it's not working out? I know he's only young, but will he make the grade?
I don't see it as a risk as such. I mean, you look at who we've got playing. Realistically, who would you pick? You've got Bright, who you can't take out of the team. You just can't do that. The form he's in, you can't take him out. The other wing, you've got Pure Chair. And then it means putting him onto his weaker wing anyway. Pugh's doing well. He's more defensive-minded. He tracks back. He covers for Manning a lot. And Chair is flying. I mean, you can't fit him in. It's nothing derogatory towards Clark. It's just the way the club is at the moment, how well we play it.
Some other players that I've seen rumours about, as well as Jack Clark and Luke Amos, are Cameron Carter-Vickers, centre-half. He is currently on loan at... I know he spent the first half of the season at Swansea, didn't he?
That would be a great sign. He's highly rated, isn't he? I think that would be a perfect fit.
Oh, James, you're just cutting out there. We're just trying to get you back. Richard, I'll just chat to you quickly while we try and get James's line sorted. The other player, Cameron Carter-Vickers, do you need a centre-half, do you think?
Yeah, we definitely do. We've got the club at the moment. I mean, we've got Lyce Mitchell on the books. He's on loan, contract coming up at the end of the season. Realistically, we've got three on the books. Again, Grant Hall's coming up at the end of the season, so we're down to two. In Barbe and Masterton, who's still is quality, but he's still young. But obviously, you go into the season with guaranteed two next year, providing we don't sell either. We need another one on the books. It's as simple as that. You know what I mean, beginning of the season, he liked to play the three at the back. With two centre-backs, you can't physically do it. So we've got cover there for the rest of the season. There's players that can fill in, but you need the out-and-out centre-halves. You need them. So, yeah, he's definitely be a good addition.
James, I think we've got you back now. The last player that I've seen rumours of being... I think this is more wishful thinking, but it's Troy Parrott on loan. Now, Troy Parrott bangs them in for the under-23s for Spurs. Jose Mourinho's given him a couple of minutes, but not really a chance in the first team. We don't know what impact he could have on men's football. And you look at someone like Harry Kane, who the loan system worked for so well. Troy Parrott, if he's as good as people are saying he is, what a loan signing that could be.
I can see that happening because Mourinho's back to his old scenario again, isn't he? He's had a disappointing, you know, he weren't doing great before he went there, but, you know, he's not going to deliver anything this season, which means next season he's going to have real pressure on, so he's not going to really gamble on youth. So I think that could, you know, and then Parrott's not going to want to, you know, just sit there and play in, you know, the in the League Cup and stuff. So I can see them getting him out on loan. The only thing is there will be a host of Premiership teams that, you know, he might go to Crystal Palace or something like that. But obviously the leverage we've got over the Eze deal, and they might be looking at, you know, building. I've sort of said before, I think the actual signing of Jack Clarke, this deal was brewing. I think that's why that was there to start with. So, you know, that might leverage it in our favour anyway. And I think that would be a good signing. And I think it's very, very, very possible, quite probable.
So let's go away from transfers now and just look at next season, because we don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season, but it's looking like 6 points off the playoffs. It's not unachievable, but it's going to be difficult with the amount of teams in between QPR and the playoffs. If they stay in the Championship next season, what needs to be done to maintain a proper promotion push next season that keeps QPR up in that top six? Because that would have to be the goal.
Yeah, I think the it's not just the Eze situation. Richard and I had a little bit of a disagreement on the show a couple of weeks ago. I think the Bright Samuel deal is crucial. I personally don't think he's going to... I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Could well be wrong. I don't think he's staying, because I think if he was, he'd have signed a new contract. So we're resigned to losing Eze. The Bright Samuel deal worries me that he hasn't signed the contract yet. Maybe the delay in the season might actually benefit that. But, you know, if he goes as well, you've got to... Like Brentford do, you know, they replace one or two players at a time. They would be two big players to replace. You could, you know, you've got a replacement potentially in sharing Eze. With Bright Samuel, that's a different one altogether, because he's been unplayable at the moment. And I think we'd need to make sure we get the right money. But then you've got to spend it wisely. So, you know, we get 20 plus million for Eze. For me, we've got to get 10 plus for Bright Samuel as well. And then, you know, but Warbs does look like, you know, he can play the transfer market pretty well. I know the director of football, Les and Ramsey, get a lot of credit for, you know, for some of the signings. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's justified. I think the development of the players under Warburton has been good. And I think a lot of the signings this season have been his own. So I would be confident with him spending our money wisely.
Richard, what do you think needs to happen next season? It sounds like you're going to disagree with James slightly there.
to a point, I think, obviously, you mentioned that Eze going, I think, yeah, no matter what, he will be a massive miss. I think Chair will step up, but, I mean, you look at the talent of Eze, it's arguably once in a generational talent. Bright going, I think, there's nothing in cert, but yeah, I think if he hasn't signed the deal, if he doesn't sign it by the end of the season, he'll be gone in the summer. You've got the likes of Shadipo, Little Smith. They're ready to come through. I think that's what we've seen with Bright. You know, he didn't come through straight away. He had to get a few minutes under his belt. You know, it wasn't really until the Birmingham away game that his season took off this year. So he's had a few absolutely outstanding months. And I agree, he is unplayable. But you've got to remember, it's still only short term. So it's not like we're missing somebody that's been there for years. You know, for example, I'm trying to think now, but if, you know, I knew her, etc., at the back. You know, when we lost them, they've been at the club for quite a few years. It's not the same. He's only been performing for a few months. And whilst he has been performing, it has been outstanding. We've got to look at the replacements. And you look at Little Smith, you look at Shadipo, he does look quite promising when they come on. I think if you give Shadipo a good run out, a good few games, I genuinely do think there's no reason why he can't get near the levels that Bright is performing at the moment. You know, what we need to do to make it to the next level is get that striker in. And that is probably going to be our biggest position, the striker and the centre-back. I think otherwise we're quite well-rounded. But I think you've hit the nail on the head with Warbs does know what he's doing in the market. I mean, you look at Don Ball, to be honest, you'll probably know it as well, James. He was written off before he even kicked the football. But,
oh, absolutely, wow, yeah, 100%.
What a signing. He's probably, yeah, he's our best midfielder, I'd say. I absolutely love the guy. He's a quality player. You see the way he loves the club. He's future captain. He came in for nothing. And
so much stick. Ward's got Verstappen in him, so much stick, and he's proving everybody wrong. So I think people just got to be patient. When we make, when we announce the signings, I saw something on one of the Facebook posts the other day with a young Dutch lad, 21 years old, and everybody, there's like five or six comments going, oh, another nobody, blah, blah, blah. But you've got to remember, Eze was a nobody. He'd been released by Millwall. Bright was, he didn't really have a name for himself. You know, you've got Little Smith who's coming through. You've got Cherry. Everybody's a nobody at some point. You know, people just need to be patient. We're not going to be the club that goes out and buys Neymar and Mbappe in the same summer season. You know, we're never going to buy them. Let's just be patient and build the youngsters. We've got them there.
I think just to finish the show today, guys, there's only one thing left to say, really. James, what are you going to do with the next few weeks?
Watch it all unfold. they cancelled grassroots today, which is a shame. My little lad's at Luton, and he's involved in other bits and pieces as well. And they've cancelled that as well. So we had that to look forward to. Now that's been cancelled. So it's going to be an interesting time. But I think first of all, everybody's health and safety has to. I know people joke about obviously not going to football or watch sport and stuff, but everybody's health and safety, especially the elderly, is priority, isn't it? We can't lose track of that.
No, absolutely. Richards, have you got any plans during... Well, I mean, it's hard to make plans because we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but is there anything you've got your eye on that you're going to be trying to do over the next few weeks?
Absolutely clueless, to be honest. I think, unlike James said, you know, I live on the Cambridgeshire-Bedfordshire border, you know, and the FA are clueless around here. You know, the Beds FA was cancelled last week, but the Cams FA was going ahead. Now it's all cancelled, and it's just like, well, what do I do now? Because, you know, they cancelled our league. I was planning to go down and watch the Cambridgeshire league, but now even that's been cancelled. I'm stuck. I might have to watch some replays of the old playoff final.
All right, guys, thank you so much. James Norris and Richard Blackburn there. That's the QPR fan show on Love Sport London. Remember, from the 31st of March, there won't be any more Love Sport London. Love Sport National Output is going to be the only place to listen on DAB. So if you haven't already done it, and you could have done it over a while, you need to retune your radio. It's easy to do. Press the auto-tune, refresh, or auto-scan button on your digital radio, or go into the menu and press auto-tune to make sure you don't miss your favourite shows on Love Sport. Now, we just heard James say that his little boy is at Luton Town. Well, Luton Town fan show up next.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.